Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Sunday we were worshiping and I had a vision. And I had a vision about the ocean, the sea, and the waves were rolling up. And the Lord said that it was the sea of deception where people have been in for a long time. And the waves were rolling up and people were rolling up in the waves and coming to shore. And they were standing there waiting for direction, waiting for someone to come and get them. And so this was Sunday, and then, let's see, what was it, Sunday night? Monday? Yeah. But Monday night, I said it Sunday, okay? Okay. All right. Listen, one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. So, Sunday, I'm going to get this out, you know. Amen. So Sunday night, after playing out in the fields with the tennis and the courts and whatever. Anyways, we came home after service and I was sitting in my living room and all of a sudden this knock is at the door and I'm thinking, let's see, man, I don't know. It's kind of, I'm not expecting anyone. And so I go to the door and there's this girl standing there weeping and crying, drunk as a skunk, foul mouth, disgusting, falls in my arms and says, I need to come home. I said, well, why don't you come in first? So she came in and sat down and she had her daughter with her and somebody else and man, I realized I was wet. And I said to her, and she's going, I need help. I need your help. And I said, where you been? And she said, the beach. And I went, whoa. Because we just had that vision that day. And that night, this girl comes from the beach. And she says, I'm ready to come. She was with us about 7 years ago, 6 years ago, I don't know, a while ago. And, you know, didn't do the aftercare and so forth. Chose to go somewhere else, which is cool. You know, she graduated and got involved and was told not to marry an individual, and she did. Boy, did she regret it. She rejected the counsel of the Lord and has been eating dirt ever since. And she wanted to come back, and I said, well, you need to get cleaned up a little bit because I'm not going to put you with our other girls who've been working hard to stay clean and smell your garbage or associate with your demons right now. So you needed to go through the process and do the right thing. I haven't heard from her yet, so I don't know what's up. But the amazing thing is that when the Lord said, I want you to start getting ready because they're going to start coming from the sea of deception. You know what? She went back into the sea of deception. Even as a spirit-filled, baptized, Holy Ghost, tongue-speaking, casting out devil person, went right back to the sea of deception. It was just a matter of time. You know, one of the things that the enemy will do, he'll try to sway you in any way he can. You know, there's something I want to share with you. You know, the Bible says that, you know, when we become a believer, that the pathway of righteousness is narrow and it's difficult because there's battles and there's resistance from the enemy. But the way of evilness is wide and broad. And one of the things that the enemy wants to always try to do is get you to stumble, sway you, and he uses multiple things to do these. To bring deception. He's always out to bring deception. But I want you to grab hold of something because when a person is wanting to change, there is pain in change. There's pain. There's pain to change. Well, you know, we've got to have a desire to change, but when we're in the process of changing, there is pain. And so many people aren't willing to accept the pain. They run from it. See, we should embrace it. Because pain does something for you. It changes you. But too many people wimp out. And when pain comes, they run. And you know what they run to? Torment, which is worse. You know, there's the pain of the physical pain. And there's emotional pain. And let me tell you, physical pain, if you don't know how to deal with emotional pain, will heal quicker than emotional pain. You know, when we do something, okay, I did it. It's broke. Okay, I hurt myself. Okay, yes, there's pain there. You know what we do? We put up with it. Okay, we know it's going to heal. But when there's emotional pain, it's tough. It's tough when there's emotional pain. Because the enemy uses emotional pain to attack you, and God uses the emotional pain to change you. Is everybody okay? The pain of change. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Okay. Is everybody there? Let's speak starting at verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And the reason for this is because he was beaten like a pulp. He was beaten for me and you. It says, he is despised and rejected by men. When you are despised, is that pain? How about rejected? A man of sorrows. How about sorrows? Are those pain? And acquainted with grief. Is grief pain? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our what? Griefs. These are pains. And carried our sorrows. Pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Affliction is pain. I want you to know that God allowed him to be afflicted so that he would receive all the pain. See, he received all the pain for me and you, for me and you to have the opportunity to change. But he was wounded. Is wounded, when you're wounded, is there pain? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. When you're bruised, is that pain? For our iniquities. The chastisement, when you're chastened, is that painful? For our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, by his whippings, which ripped off his flesh, we are healed. I want you to grab hold of something, because regardless of what pain, what torment, whatever you're going through, he paid the price for it. See, he paid the price. He took all the pain that there is known in this realm and to mankind so that you and I could change. So it wouldn't keep us in bondage or slavery, but it would give us an opportunity to change. Why? Because what we're able to do is make exchange, aren't we? You know that exchange prayer we have, which is excellent? We have a booklet of prayers now. That exchange prayer is so that you can exchange your pains. You can exchange your sorrows. You can exchange your mistakes. You can exchange your sicknesses, everything. Rejection, sorrows, grief, despise, afflicted, wounded, bruised, chastised, all relate to the pain for our change. The oppressor, Satan, uses pain that Jesus took for us. He uses it against us, and we'll talk about some of that. Jesus takes the pain and uses our pain for exchange. Has everybody got it? So that you and I can change. But the enemy tries to use the pain to keep you in bondage and slavery. In 1 Peter chapter 4. So we can exchange our pains for relief and healing, can't we? If we'll do it. You know how many people stay in their pain? They stay in their sorrow? The enemy beats them up. 1 Peter chapter 4. And starting at verse 1, please. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since Christ, what? Suffered. Suffered is, when you suffered, is that pain? So in other words, when Christ took the pain for me and you, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for who? Us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. What's the same mind? That Christ took all the pains for me and you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. So, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Wow. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. In other words, one of the pains that we endure is the arena that when you come out of the world, there is pain of letting go. Because we've lived in that world for so long. We've lived in darkness. We've lived in the sea of deception. And deception has convinced us that that's who we are. And when we come to Christ and when we realize that we've been lied to all of these years, we're still pulling away and taking off those things that we've agreed with in the sea of deception. We are now exchanging the pains that have been brought to us in the sea of deception. And Christ paid the price for us. So some of the pains is letting go. You know, one of the pains that a parent has to do when this child is an idiot, addicted, gone out there, way out there, is to let go. Because too many parents enable their family, their children in it. You know, you can't rescue anyone. Only Jesus can. So what we have to do sometimes is let that individual eat more dirt till they cry out to God. You know, when you're praying for someone, the prayers is what allows circumstances to happen in a person's life so they call out to Jesus. So in this we see that it is essential to begin to recognize that pains in our life can change us. It can be used for the good. Does everybody understand that? Because we're realizing that we're recognizing these things, that we're not allowing Satan to manipulate us through pain, but we're allowing Jesus to change us through pain. Does everybody understand that? Okay, so now we see then, Christ suffered for us the pain of change, to let go of the world and the past life. Go to verse 12. It says, "Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Amen? "As though some strange thing happened to you." Is a fiery trial painful? Yes, it's emotional. "But rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified." So understand that individuals are going to, they're going to think you're weird. Right, because now you used to run with them in the flood of deception, and now you're set free. So they speak evil of you. They don't understand you, and when your own family members don't understand you, sometimes it's painful. Amen. There's just certain things that are painful, but we can't allow that pain to bring us into bondage. We must allow that pain to change us. Again, there's physical pain and emotional pain. In Hebrews 12. You know, when people, especially in our own families, they don't understand us, you know what my heart says? That's too bad. I'm sorry. I'm pained that they don't understand me, because if they don't understand me, then they don't understand the ways of the Lord. And they're missing out. That's what you call Sadducees. Hallelujah. Oh, they got their form of religion. But they're Sadducees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Hebrews 12 and verse 5, let's speak it. "For you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons and daughters. My son, do not despise the what? Chastening of the Lord, nor be what? Discouraged when you are rebuked by him." Is discouragement pain? Is chastening pain? If you stay there, will you go into bondage? Yes, you will. But when you begin to learn that it's correction from God because he loves you. It says, "For whom the Lord loves, he what?" For whom the Lord loves, he what? He chastens. "And scourges every son and daughter whom he receives." So everybody comes in and gets corrected. It's painful. It's painful. One of the things is that we realize we've been lied to our whole life. It's painful. But it can change us, not bring us into bondage. "If you endure chastening," it says, "God deals with you as sons. And what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Why? Because chastening is painful, but without pain, you don't change. That's where people, even believers, fight God when they're chastened. They actually fight God. And the reason they do that, I'm going to share with you, is because the devil speaks to them, all right? And because they're being corrected, most of the time people are being corrected and they get angry with God because they didn't get it when they wanted it. You know, in the world, people used to manipulate one another. If you love me, do this. God don't work that way. He says, if you love me, obey me. But you cannot manipulate God. So when he doesn't give it to you when you want it, people get upset. And then God corrects them. And the purpose of correction is to make a way of escape from bondage. But the enemy will turn it around. And he'll try to use it. Satan uses it so that you get angry with God. Does everybody understand it? He'll use it so you get angry with God. Does everybody get this? We'll go more into that in a minute. Hallelujah. So chastening is painful, isn't it? But it will change the course. It changes us from the course of destruction if we're willing to accept it. If we're not willing to accept it, we fall into bondage. In Genesis 3, Genesis chapter 3, in verse 9, it says, and the Lord called to Adam, and he said to him, where are you? Like he didn't know where he was. Amen? And so Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. I'm not even going to go there. Oh, I got to really pull that in, man. Verse 13. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, pain. And you shall bruise his what? Heel, pain. One will be judgment, amen. And one will be for our exchange. In 16. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrows, pain. And your conception, pain. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, pain. And he shall rule over you, double pain. And then the Lord said to Adam, because you have listened and heeded to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it in all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat, pain of your face you shall eat bread. Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. One of the things that occurred here because of all of these pains, the pains were for change. God could not send them out there without bringing correction. The only one that was cursed was the serpent. Everyone else just endured correction. So everybody got it? Hallelujah. Pain to change. Everyone say pain?
Pain
to change. Listen, when you came into total freedom, it was painful, wasn't it? All right, so it's still painful, okay. But you're changing. When you come into Jesus, everybody thinks it's hunky-dory. Let me tell you, what happens is he starts exposing you, and it's painful. And we've got to be willing to accept that pain to change and exchange it for his relief and healing. Psalm 116. So without pain, is there change? No. That's right. No pain, no gain, man. Psalm 116. You know, God uses many things to change us. When we're not listening, when we're not hearing, when we're not obeying, we eat more dirt. Things don't go our way. We find things that are just, what happened? We lose our peace, we lose our joy, and we look for something to replace it. And that's what the enemy offers. And God is trying to bring us to a place where we're willing to take that pain and come to Him with it. In Psalm 116, is everybody there? Verse 1, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I'll call upon Him as long as I live. Why? Because the pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of hell laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Anybody ever been in trouble? Don't raise your hand. You know, think about when the police officer pulls you over for a ticket. First thing people get is freaky. If you have a Bible, throw it right on the dashboard, okay? You may get a believer. You may give you a ticket for something else. Praise God. You got to use wisdom in those circumstances. But in this, we've got to, you know, fear is painful, isn't it? We're always going, oh my God, what's going to happen? And freak out. It's like you just stepped on a nail. Oh, it's painful. But see, he was, to him, death was all around him. You know, some people really exaggerate big time. My daughter sees a bug, death is all around her. The neighbors three streets over hear her. It says, verse 4, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I implore you, deliver my what? Soul. Why? Because his pain was emotional. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, with my emotions. Now look at this. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from what? Falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I spoke. I believe, therefore, I spoke. In other words, he prayed. See, so many people get so caught up in their pain, they don't even pray. They look to the world for relief instead of God. And that shows a person where they're at. I believe, therefore I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. Is affliction pain? I said in my haste, all men are liars. All men are liars, but believers are not. So in this, we call upon the Lord. That pain is emotional. It's of the soul. And when we call upon the Lord, one of the things we're going to need is endurance. Does anybody know that patience sometimes is painful? We're waiting. It's painful. But you know what it is? If you allow it to work, it will change you. See, we just don't allow pain to work. Because if we allow it to work, see, if we embrace that pain, God shows us something, then we're able to exchange. In Psalm 55, in verse 1, Psalm 55, verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide your face from my supplication. Attend to me, hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Is he in pain? Yes. Because of the what? Because of the what? Because of the voice of the enemy, he's in pain. Hello? Because he listened to the voice of the devil. Because of the oppression of the wicked. How many of y'all know oppression is pain? For they bring down trouble upon me, in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. This person has been taken captive by pain, emotional pain. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. That's when, see, too many people aren't willing to pray. They'd rather run. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around. It is on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in the midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from the streets. For it is not an enemy who approaches me, reproaches me. Then I could bear it. In other words, it's not an enemy. It's not someone he can see. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you. In other words, a friend, someone that is close to him. A man of my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. See, let me share something with you. When you're going through this, if you will really set your heart to the Lord, you will get through this. You don't have to run to the world for relief, because the world will not offer you relief. It only offers you management and bondage. Never freedom, never. They can't offer freedom because they're bound themselves. Amen? Verse 18, He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old, because they did not what? Change. They had the opportunity to change, and they refused it. Therefore, they do not fear God. In other words, they do not reverence or respect the Lord. Is everybody okay? The enemy of unseen, man of equal, pain of emotional feelings, pain of rejection, pain of betrayal, pain of regret, pain of fear, bitterness, pain of unforgiveness. Again, these emotional pains are more effective to an individual than physical pain. Amen? Disappointments are pain. Now, Satan will use pain. Again, the first thing he tries to do, he'll use that pain to make us angry with God. Amen? He uses pain. The second thing he uses is to weaken your faith. And the third thing he uses is to remove you from battle. I'm going to say it again. There's three things that Satan will do. He'll use pain against you. He uses pain against you to make you angry with God. He uses pain against you to weaken your faith, and he uses pain against you to remove you from battle. How about Job's pain? Listen, Job's pain changed him to where God blessed him with a double portion. Has everybody got it? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 24. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? What's the three things the devil does when there's pain? How does he use it against you? To cause you to be angry with God, weaken your faith, and what else? Remove you from the battle. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. He refused to be called. Listen, in other words, look at choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. In other words, Moses was willing to give up his position, his authority, his inheritance, all the wealth, all the power. He could do anything he wanted to. He wanted to give it all. He gave it all up. He was willing to accept the sufferings, the pains that we would go through. Does everybody got it? Now, he didn't have no visitation with the Lord, did he, right away? He saw something that was wrong, because there was a calling on his life. He killed an Egyptian and he had to flee. But he killed an Egyptian. He murdered someone that was abusing a slave, a Hebrew, and he had to flee. He was willing to, he could have stayed there, couldn't he? He could have gone, hey, Daddy Pharaoh, I need to be loosed of this. No problem. He could have done that, but he chose not to go there. He chose to reject being called a son of Pharaoh now and do the right thing. Again, when we become a believer, it's painful. In the beginning, especially, it's painful, but then the enemy's always trying to reattach you through emotional attachments to bring you back to that again. He always tries to reattach you through emotions to bring you back. Don't you remember this? Don't you know, the devil never reminds you of the pains. He always reminds you of the sinful pleasures. Amen? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little bit further. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2, 3. Somewhere around there. In verse 3, I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy. Having confidence in you, all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much what? Affliction or what? Pain and anguish of the heart, that's emotional pain, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be so severe. The punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such as one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Again, grief is pain, sorrow is pain, anguish is the heart of pain. It's all emotional pain, isn't it? Remember that the enemy will try to afflict you. He'll try to use his pain against you instead of you allowing God to use it to change you. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 3. You know, we as the humanite part, we hate to be wrong. The pain of being wrong, the pain of being proven wrong. But it depends where your spirit is. Because if you're proven wrong, you should rejoice and thank God that you've been rescued from that deception. But people who are in the flesh fight to prove themselves right because that's flesh. So everybody got it? For 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. You're appointed to be afflicted. Now, that's pain, things that are pain. Why? Because pains allow us to change. It's painful to change, isn't it? I mean, that's the one thing as humanites, we hate change. In fact, people get into a routine and hate change. Remember, the spirit leads, the devil pushes, doesn't he? Sometimes people just hate change. And that's a fear, isn't it? Amen. But we are appointed to the afflictions or the pains to change. We are appointed to them. You will be disappointed. You will be rejected. You will be persecuted. You will not be understood. You will make mistakes. Hello. You will not be perfect. We are perfect in Christ, not in us. We're going to say things we regret. It's painful. You're going to lose friends and families because of the things that you said or did. You're in some places you won't even be forgiven. Some people won't even forgive you. That's their loss, not yours. James chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptations. Hello. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Let me share with you what a desire is. It's a feeling. It's emotional feeling. The enemy will draw you away. He uses emotion to entice you. Is everybody all right? It says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, the presence of evil. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death, because the wages of sin is death. Satan tempts with emotional feelings. The mind of Christ and Word of God guides us. Emotions drive us. Has everybody got it? The mind of Christ and Word of God guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. Emotions will drive us because Satan pushes and the Holy Spirit leads. When we allow emotions to overpower the mind of Christ and the Word of God, evil forces invade us. Then the unguided emotions become selfish. I'm going to say this again. They become selfish and they twist truth. They promote perceptions to fit their own wants. Then they blind the individual to the error of their thinking. They bring them into captivity to the will of Satan, preventing the will of the Spirit to access them. They're incapacitated to the things of God because the desire, the feeling, the emotion has overtaken them that they actually believe it is of God. And they cannot stop sinning. Then disaster comes and an awakening usually happens. Again, I want to say this again. When we allow emotions to overpower the mind of Christ or the Word of Christ, evil forces invade us. The unguided emotions become selfish, twist truth, and promote perceptions to fit their own wants. They blind the individual to the error of their thinking. They incapacitate the will of the Spirit to stop sinning. In other words, they're incapacitated. They're taken so captive that they're rejecting what the Spirit is saying. And they can't stop sinning. Then disaster usually comes. Again, the enemy entices you with emotion. Why? Because he knows that that pain is a feeling, isn't it? So when something's not going your way or something happens to someone else or whatever, you lose a family member or this or that, the enemy is right there. Right there. And his purpose is to get you to be angry with God. If he can get you to get angry with God, you reject Christ and you accept the devil. Immediately you welcome him into your mind, your spirit, your thoughts, and so forth. And once he comes in, then he weakens your faith because he puts oppression and downcasts you and pushes you down. And if you were one who was a soldier in battle, then he pulls you out of it because you can't battle in that condition. Psalm 119. Anybody been through that? Everybody's been through it in some way or another. In verse 65, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. What does he say? Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I what? I went astray. But now I keep your word. So if he would have kept his word, amen, somebody got it, he would have stayed plugged in, if he would have stayed abiding, if he would have recognized that the enemy likes to play with the emotions, if he realized that that feeling was of the enemy and not of God, he wouldn't have gone astray, would he? Remember, the enemy's always trying to get us to go astray. And then affliction comes, pain comes. But that affliction is from the enemy. But when we go back to the Lord, there's another pain. It's correction. But that correction is to change us, not to bring us into bondage. Is everybody okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The pain of change. In verse 16, let's speak it together. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is what? Working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So these are called light afflictions. These are pains to change. Now I'm going to close at 2 Timothy 3. Verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord, what? Delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So don't be a wimp. Be bold in the Lord. Verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Boy, we're seeing it all over. Deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. No pain, no gain. The pains of change. Amen? Remember, don't let the enemy use your pains, your afflictions, your trials to bring anger towards God, to weaken your faith, or to move you out of battle. Fight. Don't be a wimp. Fight. Amen? You fight in the spirit, not in the flesh. So don't be an idiot and start calling people and tell them how you feel. That does no good. You battle and you allow that pain to change you. It changes you because you see something and you exchange it. And you exchange it with Christ because he paid the great pain. And he paid the great price. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed be protected by the blood of Christ, that it grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that the revelation with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding continue to be imparted in your people. I want to thank everyone for being here and those who are watching. And you can grow further in Christ and learn so you don't get burned by going to the eternallibrary.org. God bless.